Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Three buildings in town were overrun by squirrels: the town hall, the hardware store, and the church. The town had brought in some cats, but after they tore up all of the files, the mayor got rid of the predators, and soon the squirrels were back. The hardware store humanely trapped the squirrels and set them free outside of town. But 3 days later, the squirrels climbed back in, came up with an effective solution. They baptized the squirrels and made them members. Now they see them only on Christmas and Easter. It was the closest thing I could come to a Christmas joke. Hear the words of Psalm 98. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This was the psalm that inspired Isaac Watts to write Joy to the World. And while we often include Joy to the World with the Christmas songs, it's really not a Christmas song. It's about God and all the infinite things that God does. Well, I spent over 15 years in youth, children, and family ministries at the beginning of my career, prior to entering the ordination process. And one of my tasks was to lead a children's choir of about 30 kids in grades K through 5. And my late husband, John, accompanied us on the piano. And each Advent, we presented a full Christmas musical, and 1 year it was called 365 Days of Christmas. And the premise was that as Christians, we should celebrate the love and joy of our Savior's birth each and every day of the year. And there were songs appropriate to each holiday or special season, including a number entitled Christmas in July, which began, Christmas in July, there's no reason why we can't have a Christmas tree so high. Oh yeah, baseball's number one and swimming in the sun, and I can't remember the next line for my life. So anyway, why can't we celebrate the coming of Christ into the world throughout the entire year? Part of who we are as those who profess the Christian faith. We are called to share the good news of Jesus with everyone we encounter, no matter what time of the year it is. The good news isn't just for Advent and Christmas, or Epiphany, or Lent and Easter and Pentecost. It should fill our hearts at all times and places. Well, yesterday marked that it's 5 months until Christmas. Although I was really surprised as I was reading up on this whole idea of Christmas in July to find a number of online sources that insisted it was the halfway mark, that it was 6 months. Now, I know that math is not my strong suit, but I think I can count to five. July to August, September, October, November, December, 5 months. Six. So why not take the message of 365 days of Christmas seriously and spend each day for the next 5 months, not six, learning to keep Christmas in your heart and at the forefront of your actions. And the carol that I selected for this section is not one we often sing. It's in our hymnal, and it's known in Latin as O Sanctissima. You might remember, those of you who are of a certain age, you might remember Bing Crosby singing it on one of his Christmas albums. So please remain seated and join me in singing hymn number 169. Abbey on the Isle of Iona, Scotland, was founded in 563 by St. Columba and 12 companions from Ireland. It grew into a vital center for Celtic Christianity, suffered severe Viking raids, and was later rebuilt as a Benedictine monastery in the 13th century, before being restored in the 20th century. The monastic scriptorium became famous for art and manuscript production, and historians believe that the famous Book of Kells was created here. And it was relocated to Ireland after many Viking raids in the 8th and 9th centuries. The Book of Kells is a famous 1,200-year-old handwritten and illustrated Christian manuscript containing the four Gospels in Latin, and is known for its intricate Celtic art, and it is now on display at Trinity College in Dublin. Around 1200 AD, Benedictine monks were invited to establish a new stone abbey alongside an Augustinian nunnery nearby, and the stone church and complex expanded steadily, regaining its status as a major holy destination and pilgrimage center across Western Scotland. And in 1938, George MacLeod founded the Iona Community, an ecumenical Christian group that fully rebuilt the Abbey Church and domestic buildings. And today it functions as a vibrant place of worship, retreat, and tourism, managed in partnership with Historic Environment Scotland. And I am thrilled to say that I am going to be able to worship there and pilgrimage there as the first stop on my trip to Scotland this fall. Music from the Iona community is a distinctive style of global and Celtic-influenced Christian worship music, best known for featuring simple melodies, global folk tunes, and strong themes of social justice. And sometimes they fuse original song lyrics with popular tunes, much in the same way our Star Spangled Banner was written to a popular British drinking song. I don't know if a lot of you knew that. I figure you have to be drunk to sing it, because goodness knows our Star Spangled Banner is all over the place. Songs are poignant songs. From Iona is a Christmas carol, which is included in the United Church of Christ's 20th century hymnal, entitled Who Would Think That What Was Needed, set to the 1949 song Scarlet Ribbons. You might remember Harry Belafonte singing the popular song on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. So I invite you to remain seated as we together join to sing it. to Galatians, we find there is neither Jew or Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And from Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all people. These are only a few of the scriptures that speak of the multicultural aspects of the Christian faith. In our denomination, you're going to get a little history lesson here. In our denomination, we were originally four churches, or four streams, that merged from four to two, and from two to one. And now we are aware that there was actually a fifth stream. Our congregational forebearers were predominantly dissenters from the Church of England and came to this country with others as early, and even a little earlier, than the Mayflower. Our evangelical and reformed forebearers were mostly German immigrants. The Afro-Christian Convention merged with the Congregational Christian Church, but was historically overlooked until recently. So you can see their influence among the hymns included in our hymnals. In the UCC hymnal, you will also find songs reflecting Hawaiian, Haitian, Calypso, Hispanic, and more traditions. Our multiculturalism brings us a wide variety of hymns and songs from throughout the world. Unfortunately, they are often unnoticed because we tend to stick to singing the ones we know. And we are timid to try new songs, even though, as I continually point out, Scripture repeatedly compels us to sing a new song to the Lord, all the earth. Well, I first learned this next hymn, or carol, Dark Ages, when I rode my dinosaur to school, in my high school choir, public school, we learned this song. It's also known as the Huron Carol. It was written around 1642 by Jean de Brébeuf, a French Jesuit missionary. And it's considered Canada's oldest Christmas song, and it was written in the native language of the Huron Wendat people to help them understand the nativity story. And it was set to a well-known French tune called A Young Maid. Well, Brébeuf replaced traditional Bethlehem settings with familiar Huron symbols. God became the great spirit known as Gitche Manitou. Jesus was born in a lodge of broken bark instead of a stable, wrapped in a rabbit skin. And the shepherds were described as wandering hunters. And the hymn was passed down orally among the Huron Wendat people after Brébeuf was killed in 1649. Now, my high school choir loved performing this song, and I hope you will too. So please remain seated and let us join together in 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime.